You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Oh yeah. Welcome to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me is the number one good and golden boy. I'm talking, of course, about the internet sweetheart. You know him, you love him. Sometimes he goes by 365 days of horror, and other times he goes by Jordan. Jordan, how you doing?
I survived my first couple days back in the office after a year and a half of working at home, so okay.
Did anybody bother you?
I mean, everyone bothered me, but specifically, yes, I have my own office, and despite keeping the door closed at all times, people still just like open my door to say hi to me, and I'd have to like scramble to put my mask on. I'd be like, hold on, and I don't know, man. We're supposed to have our masks on while we're working. There's signs posted everywhere. And yeah, there's just people walking around, no masks. A coworker brought in food to share with everyone. It's just like, man, just counting down the days until one of you assholes makes me sick.
Yeah, I finished a 13 and a half hour shift at the hospital. It was a tough day, you know, kind of rewarding, but tough. And I get home and I got the fucking sniffles hardcore. I'm just like, oh no.
It's bad enough just any time within the past year and a half, wherever you wake up with a sore throat or you have any of the like minor little things that may be COVID and you just have that panic for a day or two and you go, oh no, I just fell asleep with the fan on and it dried me out, or I have allergies, something like that. But there's just been this never-ending panic of everything is this terrible thing.
I mean, in my case, I've spent the last 2 years confined in my house, so I was exposed to all kinds of bacteria or microbes or whatever, gunk. And, you know, something gets through, but it's minor. It's not a major thing. It's just other bacteria.
Just all these people who have gross, snotty children going to preschools and their elementary schools and touching each other and getting all mucusy. And then they get sick and then they, you know, still go to work even though they're sick now and get you sick. It's great.
Yeah. But, you know, it's fine. That's how this works. You know, we signed a tacit agreement to be a part of society, I guess.
You could just go live out in the woods like some of these other people and emerge once a year to load up 5 carts of supplies at Walmart.
Yeah, that's my long-term plan. But, you know, for right now, gotta hustle, gotta be on that grind, brother.
I mean, your short-term plan is to finally leave Austin after all these years.
It's, I gotta tell you guys, like, I don't want to bore everybody with, like, my personal life or whatever, but
People enjoy this stuff. They want to know the inner Joe.
I'm, like, all kinds of emotional, like, like, through random parts of the day, like, I'm just getting choked up and shit. Last week I got waitlisted by a university that I applied for, but they will probably reach out to me this week with an acceptance, which I will tell them to go fuck themselves, Fawn, because I got accepted the first round with my number one choice for nursing school.
What you have to do is you have to get the acceptance letter from the other school, wipe your ass with it, mail it back to them.
You almost had a good thing.
You ain't getting none of this.
Should have put a ring on it, University of no identifying names here.
Well, congratulations. I'm glad it's working out for you.
So, that means that, I got to start kind of getting my shit together because my program starts in January in the DFW. I don't even know where in the DFW yet, which is kind of a problem because it's big.
It's a whole D, a whole F, and an entire W.
The Metroplex, as they call it. It's nothing but highways and a million suburbs and concrete as far as the eye can see. And that's where the Thrashenkill family is up and moving real soon. I know that we got a bunch of toileteers in North Texas, and If I can get away from the program for long enough to see some shows, I'm hoping to see a lot of you guys really, really soon. But this is a big thing. This is something I've been preparing for 2 years, and I'm kind of blown away that it's happening now.
And hopefully you can cash in selling your house in one of the hottest markets in the country.
Yes, before the inevitable burst of the economic bubble that we are in. hopefully that'll be good. We'll see. All right, like, it's a lot of things happening at once, and I really don't know how to, like, process emotions or anything like that, so hopefully I'll get better at that soon.
You don't need emotions. This is a heavy metal podcast. All you need to know is anger and rage and saying embarrassing things that come back to haunt you later.
You know, there's, like, a lot of records that came out this week. I didn't get a chance to listen to any of them because I've been busy as fuck. Like, have you listened to the new Carcass yet?
I have. If you like Carcass, you're going to like this album. It's pretty much, you know, what Carcass sounds like. There is, like, one song. I think it was the second single where it's kind of more plodding and slower, and that's not very good. But, like, that's really the only weak point in the album. There's some people that I've seen are saying, like, album of the year, masterpiece. It's like, it's a Carcass album.
Yeah, I mean, that happens every time there's a record from a established band, you know, that people are anticipating. Like, as soon as it drops, it's AOTY.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it sounds like how you like them, you're going to enjoy it, and that's pretty much for any classic or well-established metal band. The only time where something ever really makes news now is when something's bad or different, like the new Iron Maiden album. I know the news story of, like, the past week was that it charted the highest of any Iron Maiden album ever, but it only sold 64,000 copies,
yeah,
which isn't that much in the grand scheme of things. But beyond this, you know, Brazilian Iron Maiden fans who will buy everything and anything that this band is attached to, and the longtime metal fans, I think the only real news I saw about it was the first single that came out where people kind of went, I don't know. And then, like, I guess the rest of the album sounds like Iron Maiden with their 9-minute songs and twin guitar attacks. And, you know, if you like that, that's cool. I don't know. I think I'd rather just listen, if I wanted to listen to Iron Maiden, I'd just listen to the old stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of material to go through, and I don't know. I listened to the first single. That's as far as I've gotten on that one. I'm like, I'll wait until a day that I'm feeling this for some reason. I don't know when that day is going to be.
If I have 90 minutes to kill.
Exactly. I haven't listened to anything from the new Carcass yet. I was like, I'm going to, you know, find some time and sit down and listen to the full thing. I've seen various opinions on it. I want to give it a listen for myself. But again, give me just a little bit of fucking time, people.
With me, and this has been going on, especially with COVID and lockdown and all that, but even some of the years before, I'll listen to something and it's in through one ear, out the other. I'll go, yeah, this ain't bad. And then it's just gone. And I think that's just age and time and being able to dedicate myself to really absorbing things, like when I was younger. But another album I heard this, actually 2 days ago, was an album I didn't even know was going to come out. I had not heard anything about this, which is kind of weird considering how many promos we get in a given day, let alone a week. And I'm talking, like, literally hundreds of promos and emails from PR and interviews and all this stuff that kind of lets you know something's coming out. And the band is Send More Paramedics, which is a zombie-themed British metal band that was around in the 2000s, and they haven't released anything since 2012.
I remember you talking about this band.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, there's this new 30-minute album that came out, and I gave a listen to it. It sounds like them. There's something a little off on the vocals. I think whatever effects they put on it is throwing me off just a tiny bit. I did have one scary moment, though, when looking at the track listing, was because the second song is named Totenkopf, and I went like Lyle Landley in the Monorail episode. Totenkopf, where have I heard that before? Oh no. But just listening to the song at the end of it, they say fuck Nazi zombies over and over again. So it's like, okay, gotcha.
I guess that makes sense, yeah. That's not suddenly a heel turn for this band.
No. So, I guess those are the couple albums I've been listening to.
I mean, it's just different. Like, you know, when you and I were coming up, you know, you really couldn't listen to anything you wanted at any time. You had to, you know, divvy out the few amount of dollars that you had on an album. And even if it sucked, you would listen to it a million times. And eventually you'd come around like, well, now that I've heard it 7,000 times, it's actually great.
That's why I stick with listening to like CDs in my car, because you listen to all of it. You listen to the songs maybe you'd skip over, or if you randomize on a playlist, maybe you wouldn't hear it that often. And that, I think, creates a bigger connection to listening to albums in their entirety than listening to music while you work.
Yeah, definitely. But it's also antithetical to keeping up with the Joneses, as it were.
It is. Absolutely.
So, I don't know, you can either, like, deeply appreciate music on a level that, you know, few do at this time, or you can listen to everything. Those are your options. Or nothing. You can just listen to our podcast.
Listen to everything and then immediate declare it the album of the year on social media.
Absolutely.
And then forget about it in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I've been doing for years now. And I gotta say, I don't think that's an ideal way to absorb music.
Just buying up every limited edition, double LP, the t-shirts, the stickers, the home board game, and then just throwing it into a pile in your closet when you're done with it.
Yeah, I was guilty of that for a while. I don't do that anymore. Man, the other day I put up a bunch of records, like vinyl, on Twitter, just like a little video of me flipping through some stuff that I went through, like my giant pile, like, well, I'm never going to listen to any of this again, so, you know, I'll sell it for like $5 a piece on Twitter.
I think I saw one of the Power Trip albums I bought for you.
Yeah, no, that's because I've got 3 copies of that one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. That's one of those things where I bought one myself and then I got 2 as gifts. It's like, well, I need my original copy, I need my backup copy, but the third one can go.
There you go. You need one for the road, you need one for home, and you need one for work.
That's a band where I'm never going to, like, I'm never going to sell anything except for, like, a third copy of one that I own.
That's fair. I'm slowly going through, like I've said in the past couple of weeks, just some of the stuff that's been at my dad's house, and it's just like, I can probably sell this, I can probably sell this. I've had my hockey equipment that's just been sitting in a bag for years and years, and right down the road from me is a secondhand sporting goods store, and I'm like, great, they'll, you know, I don't want that much money for it. You know, I'd just be happy if you took it and someone got to use it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't take a goddamn thing.
These motherfuckers.
Apparently they're like, well, we don't take anything that's older than 2 years old. It's like, you kidding me? What's the deal then? Why wouldn't I just buy something new if I was looking for protective equipment?
Seriously.
So it's like, all right.
Well, I mean, you've got it. You sure you don't want to throw on the gloves?
Well, between still COVID, numerous injuries, and some of it probably not fitting anymore. You know, it's just like, well, do I throw this out? I've been starting to look for charities that accept it, because it's still useful. It's just not so much useful to me as someone who's rapidly getting close to 40 years old. I'm sure my hockey playing days are pretty much over.
You gotta join like a senior citizen league, you know?
There is a hockey rink near me. And I tried to, and they just, like, they're very unorganized. It's one of those, they already have established teams, but you can give us your name and phone number, and if anyone needs a player, they'll let you know. And that was years ago.
Oh, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I gotta figure, like, at a certain age, though, if you're just hanging out by the ice, it's only a matter of time before somebody goes down with a bad knee or whatever, you know.
What I'll do is I'll get dressed in my full equipment and just stand by the ice looking sad until someone asks me to join.
Put Rudy in.
Rudy.
Hey, before we get too far gone on this episode, I feel like I need to make an announcement here. We have some big things happening with the show. As everybody knows, October's coming up. The spooky season is upon us. it will get to be less than 99 degrees during the hottest part of the day here, and that's a cause for celebration. It's a cause for bringing on guests where we can watch spooky movies together and talk about them. We got an exciting slate of guests coming up for this October. We've got stars of stage, stars of film, of YouTube.
People you've heard of.
People you've heard of, people you know, maybe some people that have been here before. You know, we'll feel it out. But I think we got our slate of guests scheduled.
And these are my favorite shows. I love doing these.
No, I love doing these episodes. It's fun to do this diversion where we watch a scary movie, we talk with a new person about it, and you know, and then we get back in November to doing the jokey bullshit. Well, you know, it takes a little bit for us to do these things. It takes some preparation. It takes some discipline. So, you know, to give ourselves a little bit of a break, our next episode, that means next week's episode, we're going to do things a little bit different. What do you have in mind for that?
It's been a real long time since we've done one of these, but I think we're going to do an Ask Me Anything type show where you guys can really ask us any question you want, whether it's about music, about metal, about something else, playing music, gear, movies, entertainment, just about how we do the show, anything about our personal lives, just fun, silly questions. Anything you want to ask, go ahead and ask, and we'll answer on the show next week.
Yeah, if you want to do that, you can give us a call. Our phone number is placed handily underneath this audio player if you're on toiletofhell.com. You can shoot us a DM through any of our social channels, our personal ones or the site ones. You could send the email. Did I say that already? You know,
toiletofhell@gmail.com.
Yeah, any one of these options. You got lots of ways of reaching out to us. Let us know. Again, if you don't mind, I like it when people call us and leave a voicemail. That's my preferred. But you know, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. Shoot us a DM. Shoot us an email. That's all good. Let's start the show. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's see. According to Skype, we're 24 minutes in now.
Well, we had some chit chat before we started recording, so there's a little bit of a gap, but, it's been a while, longer than I thought it would take, but Dave Mustaine has finally Dave Mustained about COVID.
So, you know, there were lots of opportunities for him to do this, but you know, the wise Machiavellian metal musician sits back and lets his former bandmates fuck up all over for him. But you know, you can't discount Mustaine at any given moment, and he's back. He's showing us a masterclass in what it takes to be an old school fucking just insane person.
80s thrash metal musician brain rot. That's what it is. That's the official name. I'm trademarking it because we've just been talking about it over the past couple of weeks. We had the Dan Lilker complaining about cancel culture. You had the violence guys having a big LOL party over giving their fans COVID and their vocalist being hospitalized with it and still not wanting to get vaccinated because freedom. But
great reasoning. Yeah.
Yeah, solid stuff that'll hold up in any court of law. And I mean, Mustaine has always been outspoken, has always been very stupid about it, and inevitably when he says something stupid, people always end up being shocked because I guess either they don't know about it or they just forgot about all the stupid things he said over just the past 10 years, not even his full career.
I mean, like, people have the memory of goldfish with this. Like, I really like the old material from Megadeth. You know, we don't need to really talk about the last 20 years or so. And, you know, in the last 20 years, he makes a big noise. He says something stupid. It goes around the blogosphere. It goes around social media. And then, you know, we forget about it when somebody else does something stupid. And then he's back in it again. You know, if it's concern about Obama sending him to a FEMA camp or some shit, sure, that's, you know, that's fine. That's whatever. He's got something dumb to say. So what does he have to say about our current pandemic right now?
Megadeth is currently on tour with Lamb of God, Hatebreed, and I think In Flames was supposed to be on it, but now they're not on it. I think there might be one more band. Anyway,
yeah,
doesn't matter. We're not going to see them any point soon, but they played a show in Camden, New Jersey, and if you've never been, good, don't. There's no need to. And he said in all of his wisdom, I wish Brenna was here so he could do the Mustaine voice, but I will do the best I can. Hello, me. Yeah, how was that? Meet the real me?
That's pretty good.
I got to get nasally with it. I just want to tell you how great it is. Look around you, guys. Look to your right. Look to your left. And look how wonderful this is. We're all here together. We're not freaking out. And we're not yelling at people. Wear your fucking mask. Listen, it starts with this kind of sensation that we build right now. We feel together. We feel like there's strength in numbers. We feel like we are invincible. People will not be able to stop us. Right now, what's going on is tyranny. This is called tyranny. Look it up when you get home. And tyranny isn't only in government. Tyranny right now is in the schools, and tyranny is in the medical business. We have the power, especially us, heavy metal fans. We have the power to change things. If you look what happened in the Middle East right now,
oh,
I said it a long time ago with this next song, Holy Wars.
what exactly is happening in the Middle East right now that was predicted by Holy Wars?
You know, Middle East stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if the song was about specifically a 20-year, $9 trillion boondoggle to enrich the private defense contractors of the world, but I don't think that's what it was, right?
No, I think it was written just a couple years before all that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, close enough, I guess, right? Tyranny. What we have right now is tyranny, but it's not just the government. Go ahead and look up tyranny when you get home. I mean, he knows that you can look it up on your phone, right? Like, you don't have to, like, pull out your Webster's Dictionary when you get home from the fucking credenza.
I don't know what Dave Mustaine knows at this point.
He's a deeply confusing man. It's weird, though, like, he lives in Austin, right?
I have no idea where he lives.
I think he does, or at least, you know, one of the outlying suburbs or something. During, like, the first peak of COVID, there was this yoga / spiritual / like naturopath group that was meeting on a weekly basis. You know, they were pretty insistent that you meet and vibe out with them in person in a small room without a mask, because that's how you get good energy from other people. And
chicken pox.
Yeah, exactly. His views on, like, this is good, this is, nobody's wearing a mask, we're all here together, like, we're vibing, look to your left, look to your right, one of them will be dead by the end of the week. Like, it's very much in the same kind of, like, woo-woo bullshit that the anti-vax, like, empath types were going on about maybe, like, a year ago.
And Dave Mustaine has health problems, just like the guy from Violence has health problems. Why are you doing this? I am sure Dave Mustaine isn't vaxxed, or if he is, he is not telling anyone.
I'd be curious. I would love to know that personally, because I agree with you. But maybe the old man will surprise us. Maybe, like, his daughter is, like, you know, with it enough to be like, get a shot, you stupid old man.
And Megadeth's doing meet and greets, and Hatebreed's doing meet and greets right now, breathing on people. We've talked at length about Wino and what happened with Eric Wagner, and just, man, these are your fans. Maybe you'd want to do something to possibly keep them safe so that they can keep buying your Josta pasta and your Dave Mustaine wine.
It's the same kind of logic, like, that I guess the Republican Party in this country uses. Like, you're expendable. Like, it doesn't matter as long as my ideological concerns are met, which is, you know, there are no restrictions on anything, everything's open, and I don't give a shit if you're healthy or not. The difference is, like, you know, there are, you know, millions and millions of people that would vote for you if you're a Republican, but, like, there are very few replacement fans if you're in Megadeth or if you're in Hatebreed.
You're not making too many new fans with each subsequent album.
Exactly.
So you work in the medical business. How's Tyranny working out for you?
Not great, man. It seems to be going very, very poorly, actually. I get to look at the numbers every morning, and they look real bad, to be honest with you.
This really sucks. And people are going to listen to them and be like, yeah, you're right. I'm taking this mask off when they go into CVS now.
I don't know what makes somebody like an influential character in another person's life. Like, there are all kinds of artists and stuff that I really appreciate their output, their work, their insights on things, but I wouldn't necessarily listen to their advice on something like avoiding dying in a pandemic. I've been a fan of Megadeth since I was a little kid. I love hearing them guitar widdly woos or whatever, but I'm never going to be like, I think this guy's onto something about government tyranny.
And if he tweeted out that his cousin from Trinidad has swollen testicles from taking the vaccine, that might make you think twice.
I noticed something. Like, okay, do you want to explain that for people that are maybe a little bit less online?
Nicki Minaj tweeted out a couple days ago that her cousin's friend, I think. Either that or her cousin.
I think she said her cousin's friend, specifically, right. Like, you know, my brother's, you know, sister's friend.
Roommate.
Fucking 31 Flavors.
Yeah, said that they took the vaccine, and one of the side effects was having giant swollen testicles and could no longer perform sexually and had to cancel the wedding that he was about to have with his fiance. And obviously, millions of people laughed and pointed at the absolute absurdity of saying this.
I mean, if that were a thing that happened, if she has her cousin has a friend that's testicles are so inflamed that he had to call off a wedding and could not have sex, that's probably chlamydia. There are a number of STIs that can manifest in something like that, but as far as I have knowledge, I don't think it's anything related to COVID or COVID vaccines.
You're not looking like Randy Marsh hopping along on your giant beanbag?
No, but you could have maybe picked up something another way that could cause inflamed testicles.
So it became a meme for a day or two of, like, people putting her text in front of, like, a Ralph Wiggum or some other well-known stupid character, and she, like, doubled down on it and actually sent her rabid fans after reporters, like, doxing them, saying for her fans to, like, go after them for laughing at her and calling her into question, to the point where, like, the health minister of Trinidad had to do an interview saying that there's no evidence of this. It's really stupid world we live in. And now she's like an alt-right icon. And
yeah,
Tucker Carlson has been talking about her on his stupid show over the past couple of days, saying how, like, the liberal media is trying to shut down her opinions. And it's like, no, she's making this up.
So there's something that I feel like Nicki Minaj and Dave Mustaine have in common here, you know, aside from just having bad opinions or stupid thoughts or whatever. It's that Dave Mustaine, you could say he's maybe a few years removed from his salad days, right?
Yeah, he's getting up there, getting a little crusty.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Megadeth is no longer in any danger of, you know, selling a platinum record, right? It's the same thing with Nicki Minaj, man. Like, 10 years ago, she was on top of the world. Like, absolutely number one record every time she put anything out. Like, absolute phenomenon. But in the last several years, she's kind of gotten thrown into the dustbin. Like, there's both Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion that have kind of, like, usurped her throne at this shit. So,
yeah. Bigger, better models with funnier accents.
Exactly. So, you're kind of, if you were on top and you're feeling a certain way about that, you kind of need to make a little bit of noise. There are worse things than you can do than becoming, you know, the right wing's favorite sexified pop idol, right?
Well, I think you're taking a big risk and really running the risk of alienating the dwindling fan base that you have left.
I agree with you. I mean, I'm not saying it's a great idea, but I could see how maybe if somebody's fortunes were waning, they might do something desperate, like deny the current fucking life-saving vaccine's efficacy.
I mean, this is just who Dave Mustaine is. So I don't think it's some sort of clever ruse. I think he's not too bright. And he's paranoid.
He's legit a fucking freak. And he always has been.
And if your plan is to, like, buddy up to the alt-right to keep your career going, for what she does and for, like, the music she produces, it's really not for that crowd. And then you get your face emblazoned on an American flag that people are holding up at an anti-vax parade, then I think that hurts you way more than it's going to help you. So similar to Mustaine, I just don't think she's particularly bright or well-educated and has been living in a protective bubble for a long time that a lot of musicians, and especially popular musicians, tend to stay in.
I mean, there is something to say about, like, getting a shit ton of money and fame when you're 21 years old and just never growing up from there. I was a fucking idiot when I was 21. How about you?
A little bit of an idiot. Not quite fucking idiot. But okay. Yeah, you know, I'm glad I've grown and changed.
Well, you also avoided things like drugs and alcohol, which I did not.
Yes, I was a good boy.
I indulged in that a lot, and that contributed quite a bit to being a fucking moron until maybe I was 30-something.
It's not even just Mustaine on this tour. Like, Jasta has been, like, kind of tiptoeing the line of kind of that Joe Rogan meathead, lunkhead. You know, he's probably vaccinated, but is also getting into the government should stay out of stuff type thinking. And even Mark Morton from Lamb of God just 2 weeks ago had tweeted out, "I'm just spitballing here, but if we're really going to legislate healthcare decisions related to pregnancy and vaccine status, then shouldn't we make cigarettes, alcohol, and McDonald's illegal immediately?" And then a follow-up tweet, "It strikes me as a contradiction in principle that someone would be pro-choice and simultaneously support vaccine mandates. Perhaps there are more things to be considered than principle or philosophy alone. I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to decide these things." To which I say, me too.
Yeah, that's real peak dumb guy bullshit. Like, taking a completely obvious point that a million other morons have brought up that has an easy answer to it. Like, oh, because that's not a personal choice when it affects the health of other people. This is a public health concern. I mean, you could make a very far-fetched argument that restricting caloric intake, restricting smoking or drinking does have effects on public health, but it's not the same thing as a communicable disease.
We do have restrictions on those things. You know, don't drink and drive. A bartender could be legally responsible if they keep serving you and then you drive drunk and kill people. For certain states, there's the caloric information of fast food right on the menu so you see it. Even cigarette smoking, pretty much most of the country, you can't smoke indoors in most places. I think it's just in a couple of states now. There's no smoking on airplanes anymore. There's no smoking in movie theaters. Like, even if you watch movies from the 80s, you can still see some of that stuff. Yeah. It's not the way it is anymore.
The scene in Cape Fear where Max Cady is, like, laughing his ass off while smoking a huge stogie. Like, I can't believe anybody ever dealt with that shit. Like, letting somebody just smoke a huge fucking cigar in the theater next to you. I would have lost my mind.
They used to do it on airplanes. You'd be sitting in just smoke for hours going across the country. Speaking of De Niro, I just watched Midnight Run a couple days ago. And throughout the movie, he's smoking in like diners. He's smoking on the plane, all that stuff. And times have changed. There's been medical concerns where states have mandated you can't do this anymore. And people have been fine. They just go smoke outside. And they're not actively harming their fellow people and even children by smoking in a diner.
I love watching movies from the 70s, from the 80s, from the 90s. But inevitably, I will watch one of those and I'm like, I am fucking dying for a cigarette.
You just really need the smooth taste in your lungs right now.
Exactly. Now, you watch like something like Casino. It's, you know, nothing but the entire movie. Everybody's choking down a Marlboro Red. I'm like, God damn, that would hit the spot.
They look so glamorous as they're beating Joe Pesci to death and burying him in a cornfield.
Absolutely. And like, you know, De Niro himself is like taking painkillers for his stomach ulcers. That's neither here nor there. There are things that we have done to address public health concerns with personal consumption issues. So you've got, you know, the fucking big brains there in Lamb of God. Like, now, how can you be pro-choice, but you gotta go for a mandatory vaccine? You just like picture himself like bending over slowly to suck his own dick.
Why are they called fingers if they don't fing?
Exactly. I think that, you know, I have conflicting opinions about the absolute nature of free speech, and that sometimes I feel like a free speech absolutist, I should be able to say I want to kill the president, even though it's illegal, but I wouldn't do that. And at other times, I think, you know, we should absolutely ban musicians from speaking words.
Yeah, don't listen to musicians. It should just be a general rule, and, you know, entertainers for that matter, and definitely don't vote for them to be your representative or senator or governor or president. For the love of God, please go the Caitlyn Jenner route and get zero votes.
How much money do you think Caitlyn Jenner spent on that shit?
Millions.
That's so good. I love that.
It's good, but it's offset by like the state having to pay, I think it was over $200 million to do this pointless recall.
Yeah, I suppose that is kind of a huge, huge waste that does nothing but like puff up the egos of a bunch of assholes for just a couple of months.
And it makes you like go out and have to defend people you don't like. Like
Gavin Newsom.
Newsom
fucking sucks, dude.
He sucks, but there's so much worse. It could have been so much worse.
That's true. It happened so long ago that I wasn't really aware of anything in terms of national politics. Do you remember all the shit with Gray Davis?
Yeah, it was, 15 years ago, maybe a little bit more. It was kind of the similar situation, especially for our international viewers. State laws are different for every state, and some of them allow where you could recall the governor for various reasons, sometimes very valid reasons, like, I don't know, they killed someone and maybe I don't want them to be in charge anymore. And other times it's like, well, I don't like them.
Yeah.
And each state is different. Some of them have a pretty high bar. Sometimes it has to be decided by other elected officials who need to vote on it, similar to like an impeachment, for example. California's is a very, very low bar. I believe they needed a little over 1 million signatures saying we want to recall this person.
Yeah, there's what, 20 million people in California?
Probably more.
Yeah.
It has one of the biggest GDPs, I believe, in the world is just California. But yeah, so it had a very low bar. So they had to go through this entire process of basically having an election in the non-election year. And because of the low bar, pretty much anyone can get their name onto this recall vote. So you have some legitimate candidates, and then you have porn stars and failed actors. And that's what happened during Gray Davis's time, is like you had some former porn stars trying to get elected, and you had, I'm blanking on his name, not Webster.
Gary Coleman?
Gary Coleman was like one of them. And the whole thing is just a big joke and a farce. And Arnold Schwarzenegger ran because he was actually interested in politics. His wife was part of the Kennedy family, Maria Shriver, and he ended up winning. And, you know, I think of all the things that could have happened, he wasn't that bad.
Like, things have shifted.
Things have changed.
The bars are different now. If we're going to look at it from a perspective of right now, fine. He was okay, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he believes in, like, climate change and protecting the environment. He also drove a monster Hummer and smoked giant stogies all the time. But, so yeah, it's we live in stupid times, and this was a particularly stupid one. And I guess we should get back to music now.
All right. Well, let's talk about another dumb thing that happened in music then.
If we want to stay the root of 80s metal musician thrash brain rot, we can do that.
Let's go ahead and do a quick run around the block with this. I saw things bubbling online. I saw a little bit of commotion about something that seemed very dumb. I've been slammed this week. So can you explain it to me?
Exodus has a new album coming out, and just a reminder, Gary Holt is in Exodus, and we have covered him a few times, and I know you, Joe, have written an article about him about a particularly dumb and misogynistic shirt that he was selling. Exodus has a new song called Clickbait in 2021.
So, I think I can explain why they would do such a thing, maybe.
Because they're almost 60 years old and they're cranky and they're old men who have nothing better to do than yell at websites.
I mean, essentially, the only coverage that Exodus is getting for a new album is going to be from the blabbermouths of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So you got old men keeping up with blabbermouth, which is probably not good for their blood pressure. So it's just something that's constantly lurking in the back of their psyche. Like, I hope some shit dick on the fucking comment section on Blabbermouth isn't being mean to me right now.
Like, the comment section is still stupid on Blabbermouth, but it's nowhere near as it used to be in, like, the mid-2000s.
Yeah, you can't be anonymous anymore.
You have to, and that doesn't stop people, despite being on their Facebook page. The thing that gets me about the song is, I mean, I'm not an Exodus fan.
Same.
Over the past year and a half, I've been trying to just listen to albums completely from maybe bands that I should kind of know more, or albums that I might have skipped, and just listening through the whole thing. And I tried to do it with one of their albums, and I lasted like four songs. I'm like, I can't do this. This is really annoying. And on this song, the vocals sound like Cobra Commander filled with helium. It's just a really grating vocals. But beyond that, in the year of our Lord 2021, of all the things to write songs about, especially from a thrash band that comes from an era where writing songs about politics and the ills of the world and problems with government and all that stuff.
Imminent nuclear annihilation.
Right. And it just feels like with everything that's been going on just the past year, not even including the past 5 years, but really you can take a lot out of that. You know, you have your endless wars, you have a 2-year plague that's killed over 600,000 people in your country alone. The market's going crazy, people being unemployed, stagnant wages, all of this bad stuff. Like, you're writing about websites having sensationalist headlines to get you to click on it.
Like, not to be, you know, over dramatic, but we're kind of in the end times right now. And that's what you're choosing to summon your artistic might behind. It's like, fuck you, Riot Act 666.
It's just, we've gone from this is to news to, the news is mean and doesn't tell us the whole truth and just wants us to get clicks. And I don't know. I tweeted out about this. I took screenshots of, like, the Dave Mustaine stupid thing, the violence thing, Dan Lilker, and included this. And some people took offense to this, where it's like, oh, it's not that bad. And it's like, there's varying degrees of brain rot, and it shouldn't be excluded just because they're not saying, like, vaccines are fake, go spit into each other's ears. But it's still, I don't know. It's still dumb and bad, and for a band that's been around 40 years, for musicians who are pushing their 60s, it's getting real close to like Van Morrison, Eric Clapton type bullshit.
Oh man, I'm so glad that those guys have decided to cap their careers with just being fucking angry Facebook ants.
So I'll just run through the lyrics real quickly. And again, it's not the worst thing ever, but it's just kind of dumb. False headlines full of lies to keep us entertained. Promises made to lure you in, yet nothing gained. Draw you in like vultures to a pile of rotting meat. The snare is set in bold lettering as we swallow the deceit. So naive, so easily deceived, so ignorant. Full for all the tales they weave. They mislead, they speak in every word we heed, hearing only what we think we need. We take the clickbait, follow as they lead, with every word they captivate. We blindly follow their trail like human sheep, never awake, always asleep. Twisting people's words and then they pour them in your ears, in with the lies, out with the truth. All facts just disappear. Spoken words are mangled into ones you never meant, all distorted, corrupting all intent. Etc., etc. I'm real curious as to what websites these guys read.
Same.
Because again, Gary Holt.
I wonder if they have Google alerts for their name, so they're just like getting mad at like Jakarta Metal Press or whatever. No, it's just a weird thing to draw your hackles up about, I guess.
And like, it's not even fake news. Like, that would also be dumb to write a song about, but that I can maybe see a little bit more of, okay, this is real spreading of lies, and, you know, there's been genocide because of them.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, People magazine said, look what Matt Damon looks like now, and I clicked on it, and he looks okay.
Yeah, in my mind, it's, you know, Gary Holt or somebody gives an interview to Frank's Metal Hard Rock and YouTube channel, Blabbermouth takes out a selection of it, and they're like, well, that's not what I meant, and this is an injustice.
I'm gonna follow Five Finger Death Punch's lead and write Sham Pain.
Really, really the high bar of this kind of genre, subgenre of metal, right?
And there's been other songs specifically about Blabbermouth too, just complaining about comments, and I think Mana Marth had a song called Keyboard Warrior.
Oh my god, I remember that now.
Which no one talks about, because what the fuck? Go back to the Viking stuff, jeez. And we've talked about on the show, Sonic Syndicate had the song complaining about the Worcester Palladium, because people sat down during their set, which Breno was there.
Yes, I completely forgot that. For some reason, I confused that with the Uno incident with Rose Funeral.
Yeah. So the thing is, like, when situations like that happen, or, you know, when people are mean to you in the comments section of some website, either blow it off completely and laugh about it, because what difference does it make? Or if you really, really have to write a song about it, don't be so obvious, don't be so on the nose. Like, don't call your song clickbait. Don't write, whatever, Burning at the Gates, Worcester Palladium, as your song title.
Why don't you employ some subtext? Why don't you try some metaphor?
I know musicians that use subtext, and they're all cowards.
Essentially, that's what these guys are saying. The number one rule of being online is don't ever let people know when you're mad.
Because yeah, that's when they go in for the kill.
Exactly. They know what pushes your buttons, and then they're just going to keep doing it until you die. So, if you know, we know what's really, you know, getting the goat of Exodus now, or Amon Amarth, or fucking Sonic Syndicate, who gives a shit?
I mean, you can go the more direct route, and instead of being mean to someone in the comments section, you can go to their show and wear a shirt that says, fuck you, and it'll push their buttons real bad.
Okay, this is, and I can't believe we waited so long to dive into this for this episode, because this is really all I wanted to do on this one. Let's get into it with a character we haven't talked about in quite some time, one Ronald Radke.
Yeah, it's been a long time since you've talked about him. I guess he hasn't been all that busy, but apparently if you wear a Fuck Ronnie Radke shirt to his show, he will let you know that he's not happy, because that's what happened a couple days ago. And
what festival was this at?
Was this at Incarceration?
I think it was at fucking Blue Ridge Mountain.
Blue Ridge.
Yeah, okay. Which I don't know if you saw anything about that. It was a huge fucking disaster.
Oh, what happened?
This was the first year putting on this festival, and the organizers were not prepared for anything. You had people with, like, disabilities that were unable to get anywhere near the actual festival. You had them, like, moving a wheelchair on a fucking two-lane highway for 3 miles to get in.
Jeez, I hadn't heard anything about that.
Yeah, I think this is only because I'm friends with somebody that, like, lives in the area. So they were posting shit from locals that were like, this is a huge disaster.
Wow.
If you guys are curious, look into that a little bit. If you want to know how to really fuck up your festival, go ahead and make it inaccessible to about 10,000 people and see where that gets you. This is never happening again. you've got this festival where... you got a lot of big names within, you know, unfashionable hard rocking, and people are having a bad time even getting to your stage.
Now I got to see who played on the show. Hold on a second. We're going to look this up. Daily lineups, Blue Ridge Rock Festival. And this was in Danville, Virginia.
Yeah.
Not super familiar where Danville is, but let's go. Let's see. Thursday. Oh, and it was sold out, apparently.
Yeah, that's another big... I guess they didn't expect to sell all the tickets they did.
What the hell is wrong with you people? The fan-driven rock experience.
Oh, boy.
See, on Thursday, Breaking Benjamin, A Day to Remember, The Ghost Inside, Hailstorm, Skillet with full pyrotechnic performance.
Oh, boy.
I just hope there was, like, a big fireworks at the end that, you know how sometimes they can come out into shapes and one is just Jesus weeping on the cross? Black Label Society, Lil Jon.
That's odd.
POD performing the multi-platinum album Satellite in its entirety.
Oh, hell yeah.
Sabaton, Testament, Tech N9ne, Soulfly without Mark Rizzo. From Ashes to New, Miss May I, Spirit Box, Chelsea Grin, Adelita's Way. Oh, man, a favorite of Toil of Hell. Texas Hippie Coalition.
Oh, there we go. Great. I hope he got a golf cart to get around in. I can't imagine he's walking those 3 miles from parking to the festival grounds.
Maybe it's just photoshopping, but from this tiny picture, my man's looking okay.
Ah, good for him.
Slaves, Islander, All Good Things, 434, Heirloom, MX the American, or Mix the American, which looks like Dollar Store Hollywood Undead. Next Attempt, A New Day Rising. Okay, now we're getting into bands we've never heard of. We'll skip them. Because I'm sure it's a good opportunity for them, and they only had to sell 1,000 tickets to get on it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Friday. Rob Zombie, The Offspring, Rise Against, I Prevail, Chevelle, Anthrax with their 40th anniversary set, T-Pain, Asking Alexandria, Clutch, Motionless in White, Seven Dust, Fever 333, Atreyu, Knock Loose, Drugs,
D.R.,
etc. And the festival is welcoming the return of Drugs.
Same.
Crown the Empire, another favorite of Toilet of Hell, Fozzy.
Oh, boy.
The COVID god himself, Chris Jericho, with this way out of date picture of him because, I mean, A, he has short hair and he's about 50 pounds thinner.
I think, like, if I were to write down just about 100 bands that I don't really want to see and a few, like, fun hip hop artists from the early 2000s, threw them in a hat, I could make this festival.
Nonpoint, who I don't know if they played because they both had trailer problems, and I think one of them recently tested positive for COVID. Gemini Syndrome, Bad Omen, Saul, Stitched Up Heart, et cetera, et cetera. Let us go to Saturday. God, 4-day festivals. No, thank you. Here we go. Here's the real meat of it. Five Finger Death Punch.
There we go.
Megadeth.
There we go.
Lamb of God.
There we go.
Seether.
Ooh.
Cypress Hill.
Hey.
Ludacris.
Again, yay.
Suicidal Tendies.
All right.
Body Count, featuring Ice-T.
We're in some good stuff right now.
I just like that it's featuring Ice-T, because, I mean, if you know Body Count, who else would it be?
Gary.
And doing vocals for Body Count, Steve. Trivium, Beartooth, Reverend Run, Hatebreed, Jelly Roll, looking exactly like you'd think someone named Jelly Roll would look like.
Excellent.
Like someone found Post Malone and stuck an air tube that you fill your tires up at the gas station and just pumped a couple times. Bad Flower, Avatar, which, ooh, yeah. No thank you.
Woe be to you.
Wage War, 10 years, way, way down on the list. All That Remains. Underneath All That Remains, Corrosion of Conformity.
Oh, there's, man, that sucks.
Escape the Fate, Spite, et cetera, et cetera. Bands we've never heard of.
Wait, so is Ronnie Radke doing double duty with Escape the Fate and Falling in Reverse or whatever?
Is he in both of them?
He might have been kicked out of Escape the Fate, now that I mention it, when he went to prison.
Yeah, I think he was. I mean, when you're in Escape the Fate, you have to, you know, have your morals and, you know, stick by your... your ideals. All right. And Sunday, Shine Down.
Oh, of course.
Of course. Papa Roach playing Infest in its entirety, plus the greatest hits.
Thank God.
Bush.
I like Bush to this day.
I don't know if they play it. I think they might have dropped off or not. I'm not positive because I know they were supposed to go on tour with someone else, possibly in October, and had to drop off because of COVID and visa stuff. Falling in Reverse, which is just a picture of Ronnie Radke on this website.
Nobody gives a shit about the rest of Falling in Reverse.
Underneath Falling in Reverse, Mastodon.
Ooh.
Killswitch Engage. Under Oath. Philip Anselmo and the Illegals performing a vulgar display of Pantera.
Really got to reach now.
I mean, at this point, you could probably start just going... Phil Anselmo plays Pantera or something like that.
Yeah. It's
good enough. Starset, Pop Evil, The Who, Ice Nine Kills, August Burns Red, We Came as Romans, Fit for a King. I mean, geez, this is straight out of 2006.
Yeah.
Drowning Pool. I hope they play their Hut Hut Salute the Soldiers song.
Me too.
A'ron Jones, Il Nino. And that's about it for bands you've heard of.
That's pretty star-studded event in terms of toilet radio, right? We've talked about every single one of these bands more than once.
So the reason why we're talking about that festival is because Falling Reverse played, and someone wore a Fuck Ronnie Radke shirt, and this made him, the normally calm and stoic Ronnie Radke, absolutely lose his fucking mind, not just there in the moment, but on Twitter later.
So, like, somebody that's probably waiting to see whatever band is on stage next, having a bit of a larf, wearing a shirt that says, fuck Ronnie Radke. Ronnie Radke, of course, you know, performing his heart and soul out for this crowd, you know, with his soulful, soulful jams, sees it, and he takes a bit of umbrage with it, right?
He does, and in that situation, I can understand being upset about it, and maybe you say, you know, eh, fuck you too, buddy, and you move on, or you completely ignore it. That would be the normal response.
But I don't know what the crowd was like at this festival. It sounds like a really big festival, like there's a lot of big bands there. I'd assume that you're performing for, let's say conservatively, at least a couple thousand people. In a crowd of a couple thousand people, I think I could ignore one guy, right?
You'd think, but no, he could not. Saying, where's the guy with the fuck Ronnie Radke shirt? I noticed that he saw me, and then he pulled it down. You do not want the fucking smoke, homie.
You don't want the fucking smoke, homie!
The fucking smoke, homie! I will beat your fucking ass. This is not Twitter. I'll beat your fucking ass.
Oh my God.
How old are you? Bro, you're like fucking 40.
He's like fucking 40.
Yeah. He's got to be in his 30s, right?
I think I looked it up the other day. He's 38 years old.
Dude. Bro, you're like fucking 40 in the front row with a self-made Fuck Ronnie Red t-shirt. You are... This is one of my favorite ones. You are not married. You're not married. Of all the insults.
You're not married.
Sir, you have not entered into the social contract of holy matrimony. Listen, man. This is another funny thing. After saying, fuck you, I'll fucking beat your ass. Listen, man, I've got an 8-year-old daughter standing right there.
Oh.
Have some respect for you, us, yourself, and everybody else, man. It's disrespectful.
Jesus fucking Christ, man.
I guarantee she couldn't see the shirt, but she hears you saying, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
Smoke.
I'm fucking crazy, Holmes. I'll fucking fuck you up.
I'll fucking fuck your cock up, fucker.
Yeah, that's way better for a child's, like, development than just, like, ignoring some guy that's kind of heckling you or whatever.
It's disrespectful. What's your problem? You got a problem with me? I don't even know who you are. How am I a piece of shit?
Well, let me count the ways, bro.
No one said you were a piece of shit. You're saying you're a piece of shit. You don't even know me, homie. You don't know me. You're a bitch. Fuck you and your homie. I'm not a piece of shit. I'm a good motherfucker. I'm a good dude. You're a misled motherfucker. And you're too old to be here doing that shit. You should be fucking ashamed of yourself, man. You should be ashamed of yourself, man. For real, man. You stand up to motherfuckers like this. I've beat up people twice your size. I've beat up people like you on his shoulders. I'm not playing with you. And if I won't do it, my dad's biker gang will, homeboy.
What the fuck?
You think I'm fucking playing? Fuck you. And remember, he's the guy who threw a mic stand and smashed some poor girl's face in, and the band is now banned.
At a fucking
from,
Six Flags.
Yeah. But he's beating up guys twice his size.
I love that he's going from, like, I would fuck you up in a house, I would fuck you up with a mouse. If I cannot fuck you up, my daddy will do it for me.
My dad's biker gang will, homeboy. People try to test me. This is the reason I went to jail, because of people like him.
Yeah,
I go
it's
to
not,
therapy.
It's not, it has nothing to do with your own actions. It's because other people made you go to jail.
You forced me to kick your ass. I go to therapy to control my anger toward people like this, man. That's what you guys need to do, too. I'm sorry. I don't let it slide, bro. I have an issue with anger. But if I'm being disrespected, I get real fucking heated, bro. I'll give you a fucking... I'll give you a fucking heart attack, homie.
Oh, my God.
I'm serious. You know it, too. He's going to inject him with adrenaline.
He needs to fire his therapist if he's going to therapy for this specifically and clearly failing.
And telehealth just doesn't work.
No, we've covered it. It just doesn't.
As Breno said, he needs an old doctor to cup his balls for him in person. I'm looking in both of your guys' eyes. You fucking cyclops-looking motherfucker. Fuck you. Come on stage. I'll fuck you up. I'm not playing with you.
He should have done it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, if that was me, I'd be like, all right, tell the security guards to let me go, and we will fight in front of 10,000 people.
Please. I know that's not the mature thing to do, but given the opportunity to fight Ronnie Radke, I would probably take it.
I mean, you're wanting to get a rise out of him anyway with wearing a Fuck Ronnie Radke shirt and presumably pushing your way up to the front so he can see it. So at that point, yeah, why not? Throw some hands.
You've gotten everything that you've wanted out of this encounter.
You've already seen Little John. There's no reason to stick around at the fest anymore.
Fuck, isn't that the truth?
And throughout all of this, you'd think that would be the end of it. And, you know, because he's in therapy, he's getting his anger sorted out again. It's not working because he continued on Twitter.
So, like, just if that was me, if I had, like, a huge public outburst, like I lost control of my emotions and I said some shit like that, I would feel so ashamed and like so embarrassed. And I would not want to ever revisit that.
Maybe you'd put out a short statement apologizing for, you know, losing your cool in front of everyone. It was a great show. Thanks to all the fans.
Yeah.
And that'd be fine.
Yeah.
That's understandable. I can understand being upset, not to that length, not to saying homie so many times.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Not to saying I would give someone cardiac arrest. But yeah, you know, I can get it. You're not happy. And then you let it go. You move on. You feel guilt. You feel remorse. Or you've just gotten it out of your system and you moved on. But he hasn't. He has not moved on. And took to Twitter through various tweets saying, number one, again, one of the best lines out of that rant, my daddy's biker gang will beat you up.
Again, that's probably something I wouldn't want to revisit. I wouldn't want to say my daddy will beat you up, this elderly man who rides a bikey around.
Bro, he knows so many dentists that will fuck you up. And he continues, I love how there's an entire mob of people that virtue signal on how an ex-felon lead singer should react on stage to someone in the front row holding up a Fuck Ronnie Radke shirt with my 8-year-old daughter, sits on stage and watches. If they were kids, I would have ignored it. But they were in their 40s. People have zero idea what it's like to be on stage and see an immediate threat to you or your family standing in front of you. Adrenaline is already high. Ronnie should have just laughed it off. The fuck you mean? Y'all all complain, and you don't need to do y'all all. Y'all is the contraction of you all.
He's clearly not Southern.
Y'all all complain about people being too safe in music until shit gets unsafe. Then you virtue signal, again, you virtue signal on how unpredictable rock stars should be, better humans, and conduct themselves. Maybe you should take your own advice with what you post online. I will never bend to the pressure of conforming or put on a mask to present myself in a better light for a bunch of people I don't know. This is who I am. You disrespect me. I will swing on you. It is a real issue I have. It's not a persona. I'm unapologetically myself. And then the last tweet. With that said, I love My Chemical Romance.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Was My Chemical Romance even on the festival?
I think he's just having some fun with that.
Oh, okay. No, man, like, it's rare that you see somebody and you realize that, like, the arc of their life got completely off track. Ronnie Radke should have been a cop. Like, he saw a guy holding a t-shirt that said, fuck Ronnie Radke. He immediately interpreted it as a direct physical threat to the safety of himself and his family. And, you know, were he not separated by a bunch of people and there were not cameras everywhere, he probably would have tried to assault him. It seems like he missed his calling in life.
Too skinny to be a cop. If anything, he'd be like an auxiliary police officer or a transit cop. You know, someone who could still do all this but not be in a lot of danger.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Campus security, maybe.
If you spend enough time, like, you know, hanging out in the cruiser or whatever, you know, you'll eat enough donuts. You can put on the weight. You can be, you know, a huge asshole.
You can harass kids at a show.
Yeah. But no, instead, he's got that damn felony on his record. So, you know, he'll have to go to a lesser police department.
He'll get to drive around the military grade tank to protest.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know if I've learned anything in particular about this, but it has cemented that this guy is a huge, huge red ass moron.
I believe him when he says it's not an act. Like, yeah, clearly it's not an act.
Yeah. Clearly it does kind of remind me of that Mike Tyson interview where he's like, the pre-fight interview, he's like, I'm on Prozac right now to keep me from killing all y'all motherfuckers.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the Tyson documentary a while back when it came out, and I mean, he acknowledges, he's like, there's stuff wrong with him, and he needs medication and therapy and all that stuff to, like, just be normal. And, well, maybe the doctor should up Ronnie's dosage.
Yeah. Again, his current coping strategies are not working. If seeing a t-shirt in a crowd of people that are presumably they're enjoying what you do is going to go ahead and throw a wet diaper all over the whole thing. So I don't know. Call around, see what your insurance will cover for in-network, and maybe try getting a new session, new therapist.
I could see a new Falling in Reverse song being called Stop Resisting.
I can too. That's probably not too far of a stretch.
And
it's wild to me that like Falling in Reverse is still any kind of concern.
And it seems like this fest had a lot of the I really like music in the mid to late 2000s. Yeah. So I'm going to book most of those bands.
Yeah, that's definitely the vibe. I assume that the people that were really into that when they were like in middle school or whatever, they moved on, but I guess not. I guess it's the same way that, you know, I would probably see like, I don't know, Blink 182 if they came to a venue directly across the street from me.
It's like we say, all those people are now parents now, and this is their one concert a year.
Yeah.
So they're gonna pay their $15 for a Michelob Ultra, and they're gonna see the bands that they liked back when MySpace was a thing.
It's fun. It's cool. I'm glad that, you know, that was the last era of people that could make a living in music. We really got the cream of the crop.
And the funniest thing that came out of all of this is, I don't know which publication did this, but they posted about this story, and Ronnie Radke is currently dating former WWE wrestler Paige, who just has a real bad track record of dating people. If you got some time to kill, look up her former boyfriend, Alberto Del Rio. Because, oh boy, what a fall from grace he had as a former WWE champion.
I watched him do a couple of matches when they had a few WWE shows in Austin. I thought he was pretty good. What's his deal?
He's a lunatic.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll
work. And there was a couple of years where they were dating where it was a big descent for both of them, like kept getting into trouble. And there was some heavy drug usage. And I think at one point, Alberto Del Rio may have kidnapped someone.
Oh. Okay. Well, I'll do some light reading after the show.
And before that, I think she dated like one of the guys from A Day to Remember. You know, she's into the Warped Tour stuff. But nonetheless, this article had mentioned that he is currently dating former WWE superstar Diamond Dallas Page.
You know.
Which is, in fact, the wrong Page. But it is incredible to think about.
One of those summer-fall relationships, you know, I hope they're happy together.
Yeah, so I'm on Alberto Del Rio's Wikipedia page now, and you know, you never want to see this just like Ronnie Radke, where there's a personal life section, and then like crime reporting. One of his is sexual assault charges from 2020.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, I think that that particular line in the story might be our header for this this week's episode.
Alberto Del Rio?
No, for
Page.
Ronnie Radke is in a relationship with Diamond Dallas Page. I think we're almost out of time. I do want to remind people for next week, send us anything that you got, questions you got, topics you want us to address. Next week is all about you, and if you don't give us anything, all I'm going to talk about is the old guy shit. So consider that a threat, motherfucker. I will fuck you up, homie.
Yeah, homie, at Toilet of Hell, at Joe Thrash and Kale, at Breno Grounded, at 365 Days of Horror. You can email us, toiletofhell@gmail.com, toiletofhellradio@gmail.com. You can send us a message on Facebook. You can send us a message on Instagram. We're on a lot of the social medias, not TikTok, because, I mean, Breno still won't, like, look angry and then point to boxes while Holy Wars is playing in the background. But we'll try to get him on that soon.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to TikTok. It's just I don't want to learn it, okay?
And also, you don't want to see guys in their 30s doing cutesy dances to songs.
You don't want me soy facing, you know, ironically or non-ironically or whatever. You just don't want to see our ugly faces.
You're going to be a nurse. You got to learn all those dances and all the trends.
Yeah, that'll be the next thing that I learn after, you know, how to properly catheterize people.
That and doxing yourself about how you're tying people's IVs in knots because it's God's will.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm trying to make this a thing where I don't really talk about any of this shit, but I just got excited. I had to let people know.
It's good to know. You did a good thing, and we're all happy for you.
So we'll see you next week. Again, send those questions over and get ready for October Spooktacular. We've got some killer guests, and we're going to watch some good-ass movies. And, you know, I got good feelings about everything right now, man. It's crazy.
Things are looking up.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. And, we love you. And also subscribe to the Patreon.
Bye.
Feel me.
listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.